what were the twins' names?
Alex and Azalea.
Right, so you go, Alex and Azalea. Hi, it's Daddy here. Right, I've got this chance to read you some books, so I thought I'd do them and send them home for you before for Christmas, OK?
Oh, let me just think what to say. Hi, Alex and Zay, it's Daddy here. I just got the chance to read you some stories for Christmas. I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
My name's Benjamin. I'm 20 years old, and I've got two soon-to-be three-year-old daughters. Alex is the more tomboy out of the two, who is fighting, and Zay is more cheeky. Can tell I'm gonna have trouble with her, like when I grow up and all that.
How long are you in here for?
I'm in here for a long time, very long time. At least about eight more years still. So it's gonna be a lot of time that I'm away from like my girls and their mum. So I don't want them to end up hating me for it, 'cause I know a lot of children do. But I mean, I was young and stupid, really. So we all have to learn from our mistakes.
And what does it mean to you to be able to put a little story on tape and maybe get them to listen to it every night?
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. Like, their mum tells me that they used to like go to sleep with my picture, and like I know they really miss their dad. They, at least they can hear my voice and know that I'm still around. And like, I feel really guilty about it. A lot of the everyday things you miss out, like their first days in nursery, school, first learn to ride a bike, and all the rest of those things. The first book I'm going to read for you two is My Dad is Brilliant, as you already know. He's as strong as a gorilla, and he can run like a cheetah, and he can play any instrument, and he's a marvelous cook, and he's brilliant at making things, and he's not a bit frightened of the dark, and he tells the funniest jokes in the world. It's great to have a dad like me. It's brilliant. So, just to let you know that I'll really be missing you two and Mummy over Christmas time, and that I love you both very much. And you can also tell Mummy that I love her very much as well. And I can't wait till I see you again. Bye.
A story that comes from a place which once upon a time was called Persia.
Storyteller Pauline Bennett.
And our friend Hadja Jin didn't have any money. So listen to what Hadja Jin did. When we go in to do a storybook mum session or a storybook dad session in a prison, the idea is to make people realise that you don't have to be clever, you don't have to have a degree. Even if you can't read or write, you can tell stories. It's good for one's self-esteem to know that, OK, I don't do reading, I don't do writing, but I can listen and I can tell. And if I can tell stories to my children, they can hear my voice. And anyone can do it. Everyone can do it.
Hello, Tay. Hello, Nay. Hello, Ryan. It's only me, Mummy. Just to say, I forgot what I was going to say, you know, already. I'm not sure if you're going to see me for Christmas, but if not, I've got a little story here in any case. I'll be tuning to it. As you would if I was at home in any case. It's the Twits by Roald Dahl. Okie dokie. Right, I'm going to tell you about Mrs. Twit now, yeah? So, tune in. Mrs. Twit was no better than her husband. She did not, of course, have a hairy face. It was a pity she didn't, because that at any rate would have hidden some of her fearful ugliness, unlike me, yeah? Have you ever seen a woman uglier than that? I doubt it. But the funny thing is that Mrs. Twit wasn't born ugly. She had quite a nice face. And when she was young, the ugliness had grown up on her year by year as she got older. Why would that happen? I'll tell you why. If a person has ugly thoughts, it begins to show on the face. And when that person has ugly thoughts every day, every week, every year, the face gets uglier and uglier until it gets so ugly you can hardly bear to look at it. My name's Donna. I'm 30 years old. I'm doing 2 years. I'm 5.5 months into my sentence now. I've got 3 kids, 3 girls.
Where are you from?
Me, I'm from Walsall in the Midlands. Big up Walsall. My kids, you know what I mean, they're everything to me. I know, like, being in here, yeah, I've let them down to a certain extent because I'm obviously not there with them, but them who keep me going. They're strong, they're like me, they're strong, you know what I mean, they're solid. Because I've got the strength in me. Obviously, my strength reflects on them, like, and they, you know, feed back with the strength back on me and we just hold it together.
So do they know your story? Have you told them what happened, more or less?
About the court case? Well, yeah, they know, like, I've never lied to my kids, ever. Never, ever lied, ever. I don't. Truth can hurt sometimes, yeah, but you can work through it together, like.
Do you worry that you've set them a bad example and that they might kind of follow it?
Shall I tell you the truth? Yeah, I do worry that I've set them a bad example. And, like, right now I've got, like, my 11-year-old saying she wants to be just like me when she's older, and I'm like, yo, kidda, I'm flattered that you want to be like me, but I ain't such a good example right now to be following. I'm not, you know, I'm not bad, but I just do stupid things, like.
And why do you want to send a story home for them?
I'll just make the day, honest to God. It's got to be, like, one of the best Christmas presents. As well as me coming home, like, they could ever get, really. It'll buzz them, and you're like, yeah, man, that's my mum. And I promised them I'll never, ever, ever leave them again, like, and you just sit down and you realise things. Them simple little things, like, and you think, why? My 11-year-old wrote to me one time saying that people in the street, like adults, have, like, snubbing them and kids are calling them certain names and stuff like that. Not nice names, black. I can't even say. And at the end of the day, it was me who made the mistake, not the kids. But my 11-year-old did say in the letter that she don't care, because as long as she's got a family and me for a mum, that's all she'll ever need. And that just brought me, that did. When I read that, I was crying, mum, badly. I felt that. I'm going to wrap this up for now, right, and say Merry Christmas to you, yeah? Give Nanny a big squeeze off me, yeah? Hold it down. Love you loads. Keep strong, yeah? Love you to the maximum. Aight.
My name's Clive. I'm a dad and a storyteller, which is a very useful combination. A lot of the work I do is in prisons.
Can we just listen up for a second?
And what we're going to do now, we're going to play a game. Can you as a group make up a story? Now you think, I can't make up stories. I don't know any stories and I don't know how to... No, you can, believe me. If I put any 4 words out of here down in front of you, your brain can't resist, because human beings are story makers. Your brain can't resist putting it into some sort of order. So we'll have a go at that. But have we got drinks for the lads? Have I made an unreasonable demand, Sue? It's not possible.
Direct order's not possible.
Oh. Okay, we'll all imagine this long, cold drink we're all going to have now. Now, this is my bag of stories, very exotic bag. This is my bag of stories. Inside this bag are cards with words on, like talking cat, flower, fairy, servant, wish, curse, knight. All the basic ingredients you need for making a story.
Okay, just to take one out.
Witches, fisherman, talking cat, a beast.
A secret. Make a nice one out of that beast and a secret door.
A secret.
Jewel.
See if you can make a story.
The witches and the beasts are baddies out there, so we'll have them there. They're as props, so to speak, as secret door and as jewels. They can either be as treasure that we're seeking or what. That's a little bit. Right, knock yourselves out, lads. Come on, Steve, let's make some suggestions.
They could be planning a big jewels heist.
Oh, the fisherman.
Yeah, the fishermen are talking cunt.
Actually, yeah, the witches...
They could be using those as mules,
no,
you mean?
I've got a fantastic one here, Steve. The witches could be planning a jewel heist, and when they actually go to do the jewel heist, a talking cat pops out of the secret door. Unbeknownst to the witches, the cat can talk, and the cat goes back to the fisherman and blows them up.
Yeah, that's a possibility, yeah.
That's just my idea.
What about the beast?
He's on I-Wing.
He's on I-Wing, but he's trying to invent a potion for an endless supply of crack cocaine.
It's a very common feature with prisoners that they want to tell their own story. It's quite often the first piece of creative writing they'll do once you kind of get them going. Complete life stories, episodes, small incidents, whole life-changing sequences in people's lives. And people, once you say, I am interested in your story, very often you're the first person in that person's life who said, I'm going to sit down and I'd like to hear your story. It's the first genuine interest anyone's shown in them.
My name's Joseph and I've got one child, Alicia. She's seven years old, and she had a car accident and she was basically left for dead. She actually died at the roadside, my child. Luckily, there was a chief constable in the area. He was in the news that David Westwood, and he picked my child up, took us to the side of the road, rung an ambulance, got an escort straight through. She was, I think she was unconscious for about a month. In fact, the day they took me out of the prison to see her in cuffs, she opened her eyes, you know what I mean? So that was good. Coincidence. I don't know if she could see me, didn't know whether she could even see. Luckily, she's coming round a bit now. She's at home. She's getting a little bit better now. She's speaking and that.
What story did you put on tape for her?
A book about witches.
Was she in a coma when you first sent the tape?
Yeah, I think she was. The CD really worked, really helped to hear my voice when I couldn't be there, when she needed her parents most of all. It was scary. I was a bit scared at the same time while I was reading it and hopeful, and just made me realise what had happened. We've been in jail. Is it what's right? A poignant moment, really.
Hello, Alicia. This is your daddy here. I love you very much, Lopey, and I'm going to be home soon to take care of you and love you and do all the things that I used to do with you. So you'll be a strong little girl for your dad and mum, because you'll soon be better, and this will all be behind us. I do love you so much, Lope. I love you very much. You've just got to be strong for your dad. People at hospital who are trying to help you get better. I need you to get a better, Lope, so come on. You've got to come round for me, your mum and everybody. I think of you every day, every night. In the room. I just think of you all the time. I just want you to get better, and I'll be home soon. Well, I love you very much. All right, Lope. Right, I'm reading a story now, and it's called The Room on the Broom. The witch had a cat, a very tall hat, and long ginger hair she wore in a plait. How the cat purred, and how the witch grinned, as her sat on the broomstick and flew through the wind.
I don't like reading out loud in front of people. I knew we had to do this. And the only reason I'm doing this radio interview is because of how much it really meant to my daughter at the time.
Now, did your mum and dad read you stories?
Not really, no.
Do you feel it's more important because you didn't get them that you kind of do give them, or does it mean that it's a bit alien to you because you never had it?
I must admit, for me, it would be a bit alien to read my daughter a story on a night time, yeah. You know, I come across her in different ways. I play, fight with her and grab all of her and tickle her. You know, I'm like that.
How long have you got inside still?
I've got about a good 6 days, so I don't know.
My name's Freya. I'm 33 years old. I suppose in the back of my mind, I must have thought there was a chance that it would happen. One of the things that my probation officer had said to me was, even if they say they're going to give you a sentence, it will be suspended. You know, you are not going to go to prison, so don't fall over when they give you the prison sentence. Wait for that word suspended. And when I was standing there in the dock, And he said 12 months for whatever and 18 months for whatever, and I was waiting for the suspended. And it didn't happen. I was in complete shock. And I walked through the door and I just... It's actually indescribable. I don't do hysterical on the whole. It's just not a word I would use to describe myself, but I was hysterical. There's a room. You go from the dock through a door and it's just a room, and then you go down the stairs. I mean, each court's different, but this is pretty much how it is. And I was standing in that room saying, I can't go to prison, I've got a three-year-old, as if that would make a difference. And I just kept saying it over and over again. I said, well, what's going to happen to my son? I guess everybody copes in a different way, but the only real way I've been able to handle it is you bunch together all the love that you have for that little person and you put them in a box and you store that box somewhere where you forget where it is. Because if you ever go back and find that box, then you just start falling to pieces again. And you can't function like that. And you have to be able to function in prison. If there's nothing else you have to be able to do, you have to be able to function. Put it somewhere where you don't have to look at it and you don't have to feel it. And that, in some ways, is unhelpful, because then when people at home sort of ring you up and or you ring them because they can't ring you, or you write to them and they write to you, and you write that you're fine because you are, because you have to be, they then don't understand what it is that you're actually going through. But then sometimes it does bubble up and you start crying at inappropriate moments. Sending a story home and, for example, being able to record his lullaby just lets him know that, you know, I am still thinking about him and I do still love him. And I will come home.
Sunshine, my little sunshine, try for me. Sunshine, my little sunshine, smile for me, smile for me, my little sunshine. When we go out on a special trip, don't forget to hold me. When we go out on that great big day for us, keep me safe inside, sunshine.
It is nearly bedtime. Daddy Tiger is looking for Little Tiger and Little Sister. At last, Little Tiger.
Okay, so when I let go of this, you can start on from there, okay?
But they are far too sticky to go to bed.
What do you think about stories? Well, stories you just tell. You don't need to be able to read and write to tell a story. I mean, I do a lot of reminiscence work with older people. People of that age will go, I haven't got any stories, you know, my life's not special. But everybody's life's special. Everybody's life is unique, because you're the only person who's been there, done that, seen this. Your children will love you to bits for telling them your stories.
And this is actually a true story. I was sat on this bench, minding my own business, like a fool. A young chap came up to me around about 11, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, could you spare me some food, please? I'm hungry." I said, "Of course." And I said, "Let's go into the swimming bath and I'll see you all right for food." What I did, I slipped an incognito letter to the receptionist. The police came. The policeman said, what is your name? He says, I'm David. And he was afraid. Well, we're going to take you back home. We've made some inquiries and we're going to take you back home. And he wouldn't go. He said, I'm not leaving, my friend. And he started crying. However, they had to escort him out politely. And of course, the following day, I slept rough for a night on the old bench. Moonlit night and bats flying all over and you name it, I don't know. Following morning, I went to the police station and the police said, he's all right, John, he's all right. We've got him back home, he's back with his mother and father. His mother and father had an argument, of course, and that's why he ran away or left. And that's just a little true story. I actually tried to help somebody and I'm happy about that.
It's about, it's really about sort of once someone becomes an individual and a human being to you, it's much harder to kind of get, you know, just to feel that they're kind of a faceless nothing that you can do anything to. So if people know something of your story, they don't need to know the whole story, but if they know something of your story, you become more human. And never was that thing more true than with your children. Okay, a final tale to round off the day.
We're going to try and make this story as real for our children to understand why their mums have been naughty but want to get back to being a good mum again. It all began one cold, dreary day. Mummy was all alone, thinking sad thoughts, with tears flowing down her eyes.
Once upon a time, there was a little girl called Natalie. All these little witches started to come around her.
Burglar Bill lives by himself in a tall house full of stolen property. Every night he has stolen fish and chips and a cup of stolen tea for supper.
She followed the witches here, followed the witches there, followed the witches everywhere. Natalie, come on, come on. And Natalie was like, yeah. Because Natalie's a person who likes nice things, likes expensive clothes.
Below the toadstool sat a big toad with great big shiny eyes.
Natalie's like, oh, I can be like Victoria Beckham. Hold on a minute, them witches are up to something.
Hi, Kelly, this is Mummy Catherine. I know you would not really remember me because you was too little when you was taken away. I just want you to read you a story to let you know that I'm your mum and I really care about you and you're always in my thoughts.
Natalie went to the witch's house, seen the witch boiling something and the cooker. The witch was putting all sorts of things into the pot. What is she making? Bang! All them things what she put in there turned into money and Natalie couldn't believe her eyes. Then the witch turned around and said, oh, Natalie, this ain't for you, this is for me. If you really, really want to have all this money, what I've got here, you got to do something. Natalie's like, what? Do what? She's gone. There's a holiday, what I want you to go on. The two girls you're going to go with, they're going to do something really, really good. So Natalie's like, okay then, fine.
His mum was a lesbian, yeah, and she got this other bed and she was to beat the shit out of her. So his mum got in touch with social services because she didn't want him around the violence, so he went into a foster home. The people that was fostering was his dad's ex-wife kind of thing, and his sister was there and he didn't want to leave, he wanted to stay with his sisters, so he did, and he left. Yeah.
That there was a person following her. The woman stopped her. Is it all right for me to search your bags? Natalie goes, yeah, you're welcome, search them. Loads of trainers, loads of shoes, loads of nice presents to bring home. And then these two girls, we've seen what the girls were carrying. It was white and it looked like snow. Loads and loads of snow. It was all shiny and everything. Next minute, you know, there was a noise called bang! Headmaster God, Miss Nataline, I'm sentencing you today to 11 years. She was like, what? Then there was an angel in the sky, and the angel turned around and said, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, Spidey. Spidey. Oh. What, Spidey? You're gonna put him in hospital again? Boop.
My name's Joseph. I've just recently got out of prison. My daughter was involved in an accident whilst I was in prison. I was glad to be home, but it was still a shock. But it depressed me, really.
Alicia came out between two parked cars and took one step into the road, and that was it. One step. Didn't you?
Yeah.
In a coma for 3 weeks, weren't you? Just learning to talk at you and walk. Dolly now. Where's the dolly your dad got you? You see, your dad's a bit behind the times. You see, they have brat dolls now, not like Barbies.
No, what was it when that...
She got the wrong doll. So she left it in the box and never touched it, did she? Just...
You know what happened to it, don't you? The cat's peed on it.
Do you remember that tape your daddy sent you?
In there, she's telling you in there.
Is it in there?
It's like the tapes, what did it? She started laughing. Then after that, she just started to get better then.
I love you so much. I love you very lot. And I just want you to get better. All right, I'm going to read your story now. It's about a witch. Like your mum.
I knew that bit was coming. We was all waiting for that.
A very tall hat.
What was it like when your daddy came home?
This disgusting.
He said it was disgusting.
Horrible.
Was horrible.
Horrible.
She wouldn't go near him 2 weeks before she would go near him.
I become the least favourite.
Yeah, she just, I don't know, actually.
It's my fault, you know what I mean? It's my fault. I should have been a bit better.
In the Goodnight Tapes, you heard storytellers Clive Hopwood and Pauline Bennett of the Writers in Prison Network. Our thanks to those at Hull, Drake Hall and Feltham Young Offenders Institute. The Goodnight Tapes was produced by Kim Normanton and Matt Thompson and was a Loftus production for BBC Radio 4. If you'd like more information about the issues raised in the programme, you can call...
The production was by Sarah Waitson and the editor was Lisa Cook. I'm James Cox. Good afternoon.
This is BBC Radio 4. Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland is the inspiration behind this week's afternoon stories. Radio 4 asked 5 writers to create new...